Sometimes being a diabetic, when your sugar drops like that, you don't have enough sugar left in your brain that everything works the way that it's supposed to. So I may get some words tangled up. I may lose focus on being able to see the words good. But this is just one of those things that you have to deal with in life. And I thank God that I don't want to have to look back and think about the way that it used to be. I've been a diabetic more years than I was normal, if you consider that normal when I was at that age. But I thank God that there's a day coming when I won't have to have these problems of this old flesh and these old bodies any longer. And this morning, as we look into God's Word, as we made the statement there about looking back, we can't move forward in America if we keep looking back to the way that it used to be and hold on to that statement of what it used to be and move forward for what God has for us. We can't look back to the things that used to be and it be sufficient for today. Some of the things that used to be are things we need to still be doing today, but we need to be doing what God would have us do today. And when those things line up with the Word of God, then we'll be doing the things that God has ordered for our life. Verse 26 of chapter 19 of Genesis, where we want to read maybe the key verse from, and then we'll go back and touch on what we want to preach on this morning. It says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." There's dangers in looking back to the old ways of your life and holding on to those and not turning them loose. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. One of the hardest things for us to do as human beings is to forgive ourselves when God has forgiven us. We need to turn it over to God, ask Him to forgive us of the things that we need forgiveness for, and then forgive ourselves for those things and not hold on to the way that it used to be. Now in this story we see today, we see that Abraham was visited here and was told of the destruction that was coming to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham's nephew was there in that land, and he was in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham started pleading for them. He said, "Lord," said, "would you destroy it as if there was 50 righteous people found?" And God says, "No, I won't destroy it if 50 are found." And Abraham keeps on going, bargaining with God. And ain't that the way we do it? We want to bargain with God. But Abraham kept on, because he kept on saying, "Well, if there's 50, maybe he'll do it for 40. Maybe he'll do it for 30. Maybe he'll do it for 20. And God kept saying, "Yes, if that many can be found, I'll spare the city." He got all the way down to just 10 people and said, if you find 10 people there in Sodom that are righteous people, that are good people, will you not destroy it?" And God said, "Yes, if there's 10 there." And let me tell you, whenever they went down into the city, they couldn't find 10, but there was Lot and his family. Lot was a man who, though he made mistakes, was a man that was God saw that was pure in heart, that wanted to do what God would have him to do. He was just a little bit weak in his service to God and not making a stand and staying in that city where the immoralities and things were going on. Let me tell you, we may be sitting around in some of these places, it's these things that are happening around us, but we need to be vocal about it, not just letting it go on passively, not just saying, "Oh, that's just the way that it's going to be and that's just the times." Let me tell you, as being God's people, we need to speak up and share with the world that there is a different way. It's God's way. It's a correct way. That there are thoughts and they are consequences to the things that we do and responsibilities of things that we are to do in this land and country that we live and in our lives, that we have a moral responsibility to do what God would have us to do, that He has ordained by His Word and by His law, that are things that are good for us to live by. Thank God that we do have grace. Thank God that we have salvation through the blood, but I'm thankful also that we have some rules that we can go by that are absolute rules that we can follow, that God has already established. And He said, if you can find 10 righteous people, I wonder how many people that are in America today are righteous folks that God can look at and say they are truthfully my children. I hope it's more than 10. I hope it's more than 10,000. I hope it's more than 10 million. If we've killed that many babies, I hope we got more lives than that that's here that will lift up our voices for God and be spokesmen and for God and will still declare His goodness and His love and His salvation through through Jesus Christ and Him alone. But let me tell you, He said, don't look back. But we see now that the men and our two angels are going to be sent to the city in the beginning of chapter 19 of Genesis. We see that they come in to the city to survey it there, and Lot knew the things that were going on in his city. He wasn't dumb to the things that were happening, and he knew if these men were left alone, he knew if they were out on the streets that harm was going to come to them. Let me tell you, friends, if we know that there's harm coming to our friends and neighbors and we don't warn them, let me tell you, we're just as guilty as the ones that are out there that are doing some of these things, because we're not making a stand for God and allowing them to continue on in their sinful ways. Yes, we have a choice whether we're going to sin or not, or to commit some of these sins. But let me tell you, when people are not being told things are wrong, this is not what God said that we need to be doing and making a stand for it, we see people falling for all these fables that are coming along and all these other things that are happening and are leading people astray, and people are dying and going to hell every day thinking they was right with God because they were taught a lie and they believed it and were damned. We need to tell them the Word of God. Abraham was just seeking for 10 righteous folks in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah so it wouldn't be destroyed. His nephew being there, he had pity upon him. He had concern for him. But these men, when they come, when judgment was going to come to the city, it was only going to be stayed by finding those that were worthy, those that were righteous, those that were committed to God. God's looking at America right now, and we're at a crossroads. Amen. How is our commitment to God? Amen. Are we telling those that these things that they're doing are immoral? Are we telling people that trying to say there is no God is not the way that we need to live? This is nothing new. It's went on for ages and ages and ages. But there's all these new movements coming along saying there's some other way. There's some other way besides Jesus. There's no other way outside of Christ. And we see that the men came to Lot here at the city in the first verse. The two angels, and they came in, and Lot spoke with them. And seeing them, he rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He had reverence and respect to these people because he knew that there was something different about these two. They wasn't like the people of the city. They wasn't like the travelers maybe that came there for maybe some of the things that were taking place in that city. You know, the statement for Las Vegas is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. The biggest little city in the world, it's full of going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of sin and immorality. But they won't tell you that. They pump oxygen into the casino so you stay awake longer to play their games longer, so you can lose more money. They do all these things. They get you in debt and they get you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. And they rival in sin for a season, just as the folks of Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. Their sins and their fornications and their adulteries and their homosexuality had been seen by God. He was sick to his stomach because of their immorality and the things that they were doing. And he's judging a city and a plain and an area for their sin and their wickedness. We see that there's storms on every hand in America. One place is burning up from the heat. One place is washed away from the rain. One place is drying up because of the lack of rain. But yet we don't see that we need to return to God. We're looking back and becoming pillars of salt that have lost their savor. That we're not salting the world. That we're not flavoring it with the Word of God. That we're allowing things to change us. And allowing our minds to be changed to accept things that are morally wrong. Verse 2, and it said, and he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they say, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. They wasn't naive. They knew exactly why they were there. They knew the message that God had for Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew what they were there to do. They knew what the outcome was going to be. And here Lot was trying to get them to come into his house, not leave the house, wash, clean themselves up, and leave early in the morning. Now, how would you think, is that the way we need to treat Sparta? Do we have that much sin and immorality there that when visitors come in, we tell them, get in here, get inside the inn, get cleaned up, and leave early in the morning and get out of here? We hope that there's not, but friend, if we knew all the things that were happening in Allegheny, it would probably shock us. It would probably shock us what's going on. But what we need to do is tarry in the Lord's house. And we need to get and find shelter in His love and in His salvation. And He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto Him and entered into His house. And He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. He finally persuaded them after much talk and much press to come into His house to spend the night. And they gave in and did eat and spent the night with Him, had fellowship and breaking of bread and eating. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." The news traveled quickly. They were strangers in town. Let me tell you, we need to be the ones that are spreading the strange thing, the gospel, to those that are not listening. It is strange to them because they can't see how someone can love them as Jesus loves them. They can't understand how someone could forgive them as Jesus can forgive them. We need to be telling the story. News travels quickly of things happening, especially with the scanner. When it goes off, I don't know about the rest of you, I still got mine where I was in the fire department. We listened to that thing, and boy, grab that phone book if we think it's somebody we know. Got to look that address up. I'm talking about me. If you do the same thing, we can say amen together. We do those things. We want to know what's going on. And if we can't figure it out, we go to Facebook. If it ain't on Facebook, we go to telephone. We start texting. You know who is in that wreck? You know whose house that is that was burnt? Whose house does that got broke into? Who done it? We're nosy by nature. Nosy by nature. We want to find out. Unless it comes to finding out about God. Then we're like, "Ooh, I don't know if I want to know that or not." I become responsible for what I know. I don't know if I want to know that. I don't want to know that. Then I've got to do something about it. But these men wanted to know of these men that came in unto Lot. Strangers in town wanted to find out about them. Wanted to do other things with them. It's not meant for man to do with man. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Lot knew what their men had on their mind. Today we call it an alternative lifestyle. Something we've got to accept. My friend, we don't have to accept nothing. God's Word spoke against it a long time ago. He judged it already, and He has said it is wrong. Whether it's lesbians or whether it's homosexuals, God has said it is wrong. He's condemned it. He wouldn't change His mind. Because then he would be not perfect any longer. Say, "Well, it was okay for that day, but it ain't okay back there." No, that's not God. He's already settled His mind upon it. And we just have to settle our mind upon it that God is correct. And we know that He's correct. But he wanted to know the men of the city. And he prayed for them that they wouldn't do so wickedly unto them. Now listen, what a trade-off that Lot was offering. "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." That would be a hard trade to make. A hard trade to make. Our compassion would only go so far when it concerned our family to the life of someone else. We would be willing to offer up our family instead of someone else. I dare to say that any of us would want to make that choice to do that. Or that we could make that choice to do that. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now will he deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They had an agenda on their mind, and they wasn't going to be swayed. They were attempting to going to even enter into the house by force. By force. Today, the Christians are being forced to to accept things that man says is right. We don't have to accept it. We can stand on the Word of God and be different. Be a peculiar people. We don't have to allow it in our house. We don't have to allow it in the church. We can stand up and say, so said the Word of God. And if that's not good enough, then they need to take it up with Him. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. The men knew exactly what the outcome would be. These angels of God that were sent. But they came to warn Lot and his family. And we know that they spoke to him here and told him what was going to take place. Told Lot that in the morning for them to get up and leave the city. Because they couldn't do nothing until he was gone and his family was gone. They asked Lot, they said, do you have others besides those that are in the house? Because it was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters there in the house. And he had daughters and sons-in-law that were out in other places. And he went and he spoke to them, and they laughed at him. They laughed at him because of the immorality of the city had become part of their life. They had accepted it and thought, times are good, this is not going to happen. God's not going to do these things. And we may think that God's not going to be a judge one day, but He will. But He's a righteous judge. He gives us ever ample opportunity to ask for forgiveness for the sin in our life. He gives us ample opportunity to come to Him, to know Him as a Savior. And whether we choose to or not, that's our choice and our final consequence. Verse 12, it goes on and it tells of the conversation. He tells them to get out of the city. In the morning when it rose, Lot gathers his wife, his daughters, and turns to leave. But yet during that time, they told him where to go, and he said, oh, that's too hard a journey. There's another city close by, and it's just a small one. Let me go there. The city of Zoar. Let me go there and stay instead of going to the mountain. That's just too hard a journey for me and my family. And God told him he could go there to that small place and stay. So we see them leaving the city, but yet their lifestyle, the things that they had in the past, the friends that maybe they had made acquaintance with, was just too much for Lot's wife. And she looked back. Friend, do you look back to the way your life used to be? Maybe you had righteous living. Maybe you liked to drink. Maybe you were on drugs. Maybe you had other afflictions that you didn't share with people, the things that you might have done in the flesh that you thought were hid. Do you look back to those times and long for that once again? If you do, you need to get in touch with God. You need to get in touch with God. Because God wants us to go forward for Him. He don't want us looking back to the path and the life that He saved us from and seeing those things and holding on to them and dabbling just a little bit here. Oh, it's all right if I do it just a little bit. I can control it. No, friend, if it's a sin, it's a sin, whether it's a big sin or little sin. You can't do it just a little bit and stay clean. It's just like getting in a deep mud hole. You can't just get in there a little bit. When you get it on you, your foot's just as dirty whether you're in it an inch deep or whether you're in it a foot deep. You're still in the mud. You're still dirty. And sin's the same way. You can't just dabble in it a little bit and it be okay. You can't look back just a little bit and hold on to that and keep it in your life. We have to surrender it to God and ask Him to help us with it. Those things that we know to do and we don't do them, it becomes a sin to us. And those things that we know not to do, and we do, becomes a sin to us as well. Friend, are we looking back today? It's also stated that we can't hold to the plow and look back because we're not fit for the kingdom of God. You can't plow a straight row if you're looking back. You must be looking forward. You can't walk a straight path looking back, holding on to the way that it used to be. Church, we can't move forward as a church if we keep looking back to how it used to be. And the ones that used to be here. We have to look forward to today and tomorrow and what God's got in store for us next week, next month, next year, next decade. What He's got in store for us. Because the days of the past, they are the past. Now is the present. That's why it's a present. And tomorrow's the future, and it holds many things for us. But will we look for those things? Or are we looking back to the way that it used to be and holding on to what used to be? Let's turn loose of what used to be and go forward. We know that Lot left the city. His wife turned back, turned into a pillar of salt. God's judgment was complete and quick upon her as she made the choice. She made the choice. We know that Lot went on to Zoar, stayed there for a while, left the city there, ended up in the mountains. We know from that point on that his two daughters made him to drink wine and to become drunk, went in and laid with him and had children under their father. No doubt things that they had probably seen happen in Sodom. But we see that God still preserved the seed, that God still had a witness, and God still has a witness today. But let's don't hold on to the past. Let's don't commit things that used to be in our life and hold those things and look to those things as the good old days. It's time to make some greater days in our service to God. Yesterday's behind us, today's today, and tomorrow is our future. But will we go forward into the future, or are we still holding on to what yesterday was? We can't get the word to where we need to if we're holding on to where it was. We've got more ample opportunities right now for God's word to reach out in many different areas that we can use. It's tools that God has allowed to be made that we can use. We don't use the telegraph anymore because now we have something far more sophisticated. Could any of you read the telegraph if it went off now? One night I had on my pager at work, and it has one of the towers has a certain tone that goes off. It sounds like Morse code. They asked me what it was saying. I said it said da 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 da, because I didn't know what it said. I just know it recognized itself. And some people, that's all they're hearing today when you're trying to tell them about Jesus, because they don't understand. They don't get the message. They don't see Jesus. So we have to ask God to help us to find the right avenues to share with them the message that will reach their life and will change it for an eternity. Friend, as we stand to our feet this morning, as Jill gets ready to play a song of invitation, I pray that you have surrendered to God. I pray that you're saved. I pray you won't hold on to the past, or that you're holding on to who you are now and won't surrender it to God. God's wanting to make you and change you into an instrument that He can use, a vessel that can be used of God, ready for service. I know that God has changed my vessel, has enlarged its knowledge, has enlarged its abilities from what it first started out as. But it's all of God's hand, forming and shaping and making. And He'll do the same for your life. If you're not saved right now, you're that hunk of clay that's sitting there that's just waiting for God to pick up and put upon His wheel and to make you into a beautiful vessel that can be used of God. But friends, you have to surrender to Him. When He pulls on that piece of clay that you say, take me, mold me, shape me, make me who you want me to be. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, everyone praying. Would there be one here this morning that might say, preacher, I'm lost and I'm looking back and I've enjoyed my life and I'm holding on to that because I'm afraid of what I'll have if I surrender to God. I'm afraid of what it might be, what He might want me to do. Friend, I don't want you to hold on to the past alone, that you become a pillar of salt that has lost its savor. I want you to be a Christian that's on fire for God, that can salt the world and change its flavor. I'm glad that He used such an expression for us as Christians, Because there's nothing worse than bland, dull tasting food until you put the salt to it and the flavor that it gives it. And that's what God wants us to do for this world, is to give it the flavor of God and to share with those that are lost, that they don't have to be bland, that they don't have to be hell-bound any longer, that they can be heaven-bound and make a sweet savor before God's nostrils. Friend, please, realize you're lost. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, I've got a need that I just want you to help me pray for. Not voiced it aloud, but it's on my heart, and I just want you to help me pray. Would you just lift that hand? God will know what it is. I don't have to. Bless those hands. Bless those hands. Bless those hands. Bless that hand. Any others? Preacher, I got a need, and I just want you to help me pray. I'll help you pray best I can. Maybe you just want to come onto the altar. Maybe you've got a need. You just want to come up here and talk to your Father about. He's willing. He's ready. He's got his ears listening. He just wants to hear from you. He just wants you to step out and come lay it on the altar this morning. Will you come? Will you come? We'll wait upon you. We'll wait upon you. Will you just step out and come?